96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, October 3rd, a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Well, we know Tuesday, the guest I had cancelled, right? But usually on Tuesday, I have Uncle Surah, Dr. Cleveland Enius III on, so we could talk the Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. But of course, because I cancelled him, he didn't show up, right? And I said, when he's not able to come on Tuesday, I squeeze him in to be here on Thursday. But I also supposed to have a guest on Thursday, and that person did not show up. But I say, Uncle, come. Come, Uncle, because I don't see this week. It could be a wash in terms of guest canceling, right? But I always have to be prepared. So I said, I warned Aaron, said, well, Aaron, we have two topics, right? Either we can talk to continue our conspiracy theory conversation, but if Uncle show up, we got to go talk back about our last conversation. And guess who showed up?
We been talking. I mean, I thought we was talking flat earth from the church's perspective.
We can squeeze that into the conversation because I want to talk about last week. And I left my book, and I might leave you having this leading this conversation when I run downstairs and get
my
notebook. Why
wouldn't you send me to get your notebook as a dutiful secretary?
I know about y'all hasty.
Subordinate.
I know about y'all hasty.
Y'all
just take people's things.
I have to go to the gas station to see if you left the book there in your car. Yeah. I can go to the gas station, yeah. But other than that, I check in on the book.
I understand. But see how y'all hasty, tricky? You ready to help me forget what I'm talking about?
Flat Earth.
We're going to Noah because we continued that conversation. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about this New Jerusalem, right? The concept of is there a heaven? Right? Because Uncle Dr. Cleveland Enius don't seem to be believing I die and I being resurrected on the when the trumpet sound and I get up in heaven. I was planning to cry over you all because you know I could be gnashing of teeth when I say, Lord, you ain't making it. But according to Uncle, look like I ain't gonna make it day either. So I'm a little concerned. And I want to have that dual conversation and then I'll include the flat earth on it and conspiracy theories, right? The future of this world. Let me start off with this. Aaron, do you believe in reptilian people? See, that's a conspiracy, people. People who are snake-like and live on this earth who our Lord, my Lord,
I know two people who are snake-like and one is certainly a good person.
Just because he want to control the sun and charge his electricity, I ain't talking about that one.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I know.
Here's what I do know, is that everybody I know has a reptilian brain. And I know has a reptilian brain. I don't know any reptile people.
I talk about people, man. I talk about a different species of people.
What do you mean you're talking about peoples?
Yes. Not people who have DNA that they say similar to reptiles because they do science. I talk about a specific species of people
reptile people.
Yeah, on Earth who are parallel to who we are. Right? I'm speaking about that. See, I'm your conspiracy theory. I'm speaking about an evil, sinister, cabal type concept that is here on Earth thwarting me, people like me who trying to get to heaven, right? That they are, watch this now, watch Uncle Sarah eyes change. They are changing my Christianity, trying to replace my Christianity with their version of Christianity. They are looking at old stones and say, see, this stone mean this. And I said, but you can't even read that. That's just scotch it. Right? And he said, no, it's a language. And I said, how you know it's a language? Don't worry. That is a handwriting on the wall, and we were able to interpret it. And now I'm telling you that there were 3, 4, 5 different floods. And I said, man, there's only one flood. The Jewish people then tell me that is one flood. The Jewish people then tell me I is the son of, what are people who get cursed by Noah?
Ham.
That is the son of Ham. And that I could be a slave for the rest of life. I then accept that. And now people like Dr. Aeneas.
Hold on. I thought you said people like reptile people. You didn't say nothing about him.
Again, to him soon. I'm saying now he's coming back and say, I ain't get cursed. And I said, but the Bible didn't tell me my black people like you. And
not him. Like me? No. I mean, like us?
Yeah, we got cursed. And we can be slaves for the rest of our lives. And now he has an African interpretation and saying all that is just hogwash. All of that is just hogwash. And someone put us in hell and make us have an inferiority complex on how we see ourselves. And that the Bible that was handed down to us has been twisted and manipulated. That we view ourselves in a inferior way. And that the words that we thought we understand that was given to us ain't necessarily the words.
Who gave it to us?
People
who told us we were inferior?
Yeah.
They gave us the words that told us
the one we were who said inferior. We were three-fifths human.
I bet you they only gave us three-fifths of the words.
You think they changed the Bible? Though the Bible says
they didn't change it.
They can't add to it.
Right, because that is like science. Energy can either be created or destroyed. They just gave us only three-fifths of it.
So you two believe there's lost that is lost books of the Bible and that there's other stories? Or like how Dr. Aeneas says there's sacred books that need to come together to tell our story and then we understand the whole thing? You
like
believe
the,
that?
Like the land registry for Freeport and Mayaguana? Secret lost books that need to come together to help us tell our story?
Or how some of the land books just disappear and you can't find it, the registry gone.
Yeah.
And then the property gone with it.
When you say it like that, I understand it.
Yes. But let's welcome Dr. Cleveland Aeneas III, who is a critical... Go ahead, Aaron.
Critical theologist.
And what does that mean, Aaron?
That
been
means...
Here for a while. Go ahead.
That means that Reverend Dr. Cleveland Aeneas III...
And he's Dr. Reverend.
Sorry, Dr. Reverend.
Yeah, Reverend Doctor means something different.
Okay, then.
What does Reverend Doctor mean?
It depends on whether you have a king after it or not.
I like that. Good comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He uses a practice of comparative theological interrogation to examine and explore our relationship with Christianity as Africans and as non-Africans.
But people do that too via Google and YouTube now. So, but I know he went to school. You went to school for his biology degrees, and you see you talk all these biology words.
And now he has a PhD in critical theology.
Interesting. So all that introduction now is to get him back online as I interrogate him about this New Jerusalem, mm-hmm. about the snake people, about aliens being on Earth. Remember you asked that on your prayer?
And then ask him to be in the water before his hands start wrinkle up like reptile. Ask him that when you're interrogating him.
You take me to turn back to reptile after you've been...
I'm just saying, you say you're looking for reptile people. I know
You ever watch Waterworld?
Yeah.
You see how his hands became web or his feet became web?
Yeah.
Well, that's what his return. Welcome, Dr. Aeneas. How are you doing? Sorry about all that rant.
Namastu, which means I bow to the divinity within you. Am I being heard?
I can hear you.
Beautiful. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. I'm the head priest of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah here in the Bahamas. And as always, it is my pleasure to be here, Guardian AM, with Brother C.A. Nareem, Sister Aaron Green. You know, the conversation that you all started the show with is important because in the Holy Coptic Church and around the world, there are people who are observing this month of October. Every year, we observe African Holocaust Month. And African Holocaust Month is an opportunity for those of us of African descent to actually delve into the reality of our Holocaust, of our Maafa, as Dr. Marimba Ani would describe it. This more than just slavery, but the reality of we as a people having been disoriented, having been ripped away from our indigenous lands, ripped away from our indigenous languages, religions, etc., which puts us in the frame of mind that we're in now, whereby we wonder about conspiracy theories and try to figure out if the Bible that we're reading is actually indeed from God, or was it actually put together by men who ultimately wanted to control the fate of humanity's destiny. This year, we're going to be having 4 weeks every weekend in October. And you can go to journeyhomegroup.com, journeyhomegroup.com. It's free. You can register for free. But we're talking about information, an information holocaust that has taken place. And what is an information holocaust? An information holocaust is when a people move into the territory of another people and begin to destroy their religious, spiritual, social, legal documents, whereby these people are left in a predicament whereby they no longer have any reference point to who they truly were. So this has happened to us as a people. Our religious texts, our legal texts, social texts, etc., burned or hidden away in private museums, in private libraries. In fact, today we must go and pay to see the things that were stolen from us. We must pay to go to the London Museum, or the British Museum rather, the Louvre in France, etc.
That's if you could get a visa to
get
go.
To there, yeah. right. So this is very, very meticulous. It's being done right in plain sight. All right, because if they removed all of the relics from those libraries and museums that didn't belong to them, they would have nothing. If they returned it back to the people that they stole it from, we could then put them on display and actually drive the tourists to, you know, the tunes of billions of dollars to see what we as a people actually contributed to the planet. And so when we look at the fact that there are hundreds of thousands of manuscripts that have been unearthed in what we know as Mali today, you don't think for a second that the things that we are having conspiracy theorist conversations about are in these texts? The fact that they lied to us and told us for generation after generation that our story was simply an oral tradition, like we didn't have anything written down on actual manuscripts, in actual stone, on actual metal, on actual leather. We didn't have these things, which is a complete and utter lie. The fact that the ruling powers today, the dominant culture today, have different tiers of information whereby you have to be sworn in to actually hear certain information or be privy to certain information, right? The fact that these realities exist mean that we as a people are in a information holocaust.
Kind of stick a pin for a second. Mm-hmm. The conversation about the evolution of medieval and European art, mm-hmm. right? And that people are trying to convince us that in the 1700s, people, they couldn't form the shape of a face.
Right.
Like, because if y'all couldn't do it in the 1800s, then we couldn't do it in the 1500s, right? We couldn't have done it 1,000 years ago if y'all couldn't do it 200 years ago.
Even though we got statues with faces, perfect faces. Right.
And I think the distortion of time and the evolution of culture through art is something that, in terms of art as information.
Well, they made it art. See, when you take the facts, they call them art of facts. Right? Mm-hmm. They take our facts and they make them poems. They make them artifacts. They take our universities and they say these were temples, or these were, you know, places where people just went to imagine a god. Mm-hmm. Right? But again, in their society, they have what's called top secret. Mm-hmm. This is a fact. This is not me being a conspiracy theorist. They actually have what's called top secret, above top secret. Mm-hmm. Okay, there are different tiers of secrecy in this society. Mm-hmm. All right, why is there secrets? Now they would say, well, for national security purposes, et cetera, et cetera. Or is it actually is it something that is necessary to uphold racism, white supremacy, which is the thing that is evident, is very plain in our faces, but we don't want to talk about it. And when I say racism, white supremacy, I'm not just talking about white people, because there are white people in black faces that perpetrate racism, white supremacy every day.
Ontological whiteness.
Ontological
whiteness. You're so consumed by white systems, structures, language, culture, that you forget that you're not white.
Right. So last week we were talking about or asking the question, are we in the days of Noah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we started out, for the sake of those who may not have caught the conversation last week, in the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, whereby the Messiah, this African Messiah, he is saying to his disciples in this entire chapter, he's warning them or explaining to them of what the day and time would be like when the coming of the Son of Man would be. Because it was like, how things going to be when you coming back? And he says, but starting at verse 36, Matthew 24, 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So all these churches who telling you when Jesus coming, they lie. Because he said, no one knows, right? Verse 37 says, but as the days of Noah were, and he used the word no, which again, the word no or no in the hieratics is the word drunk. And it comes out of an ancient African or Tamaraic word called Nawur, which is the primordial water, the primordial light, this primordial dot. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. This is the day and time that we're in right now, whereby we have lost contact with the divinity within us as a people. We have taken on the image and the likeness of the beast. Every thought and every imagination of our hearts and of our minds is evil continuously, to the point where the Messiah is saying that, and these people, verse 39, it says, I knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So this is telling us that there are actual realities within nature that we have to be aware of, because we were talking about a procession last week, which takes 26,000 years as the earth wobbles. And the fact that during these processions, you have polar shifts, you have earthquakes, you have volcanic eruptions, you have hurricanes that are outside of the, you know, five scale tier that they have. You have all of these things happening. And during the days of Noah, nobody was waiting for Jesus. Now, am I saying there is no real Messiah? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the reality of who the Messiah is and what the Messiah represented for these people who are the original Nazarite people was not a person who was coming to save them as much as an example of how we can save ourselves. As again, the book of John chapter 14, verse 12 says that we would do the works and do even greater works than the Messiah. So this story that is talked about in the book of Genesis of a Noah, as we talked about last week, it's a composite of various stories that have taken place around the world. If you have a global flood, why would you only listen to the perspective of one culture? You go to the Europeans and then you just don't talk to nobody else? But this is supposed to be a flood that happened everywhere? So clearly there are people on the planet who also have an actual account of this flood. And if we are serious about getting down to the actual reality of what this flood was all about, it's only fair that we talk to all people of the planet.
Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, you are of the belief that your God created everybody on the planet. So those people who have these stories, these myths,
right,
about being alive back then, why listen to them? Because they could only be myths.
Right.
Because you didn't exist. You want to exist, but my God didn't create you. So what are you talking about? And there are many of us who have been convinced of that, right?
Right.
That don't mind them Indians and the Sikhs and these African people and these Nordic people talking all this fool, and it's out of Aztec with foolishness they talking. They didn't exist. until my God created them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in that place, then right. you can't hear anything else after that.
Right, right. So we then have to look at this idea of religion critically, and in understanding that the things that are being propagated, and this goes into the information Holocaust, right? When you do the research on groups of people who have interfered with information on a planetary level, you had a psychologist called Sigmund Freud and his nephew Edward Bernays. All right, and there's a group referred to as the Tavistock Institute on Human Relations. Mm-hmm. All right, and when you do research on these organizations and you understand what they had a hand in, for example, I ask my students often, what is it that makes a breakfast meal a breakfast meal? If I said, what do most people eat for breakfast? Without thinking, most people were telling you eggs, bacon, orange juice, cereal.
Toast,
right? But why? You know what? Why is egg something you eat for breakfast? If I say I'm going to make me some pancakes and eggs for dinner, it would look. I mean, people are doing it now because you got fast food or restaurants that are open 24 hours. But generally speaking, people would look at you and say, well, why are you eating breakfast for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not understanding what had to take place to shape our minds into forging this idea of what a breakfast meal is, what a lunch meal is, what a dinner meal is. The idea that you eat three times a day, all it is coming from,
mm-hmm.
right? When they wanted to make smoking something that was tolerated by women, how did they do it?
Marketing.
Edward Bernays. Media. You understand? Yeah. Sigmund Freud. These people were actually attacking psychologically in an information holocaust the minds of the globe. But I think we got to take a break now.
We're going to take a quick break because remember the guest I mentioned earlier?
Mm-hmm.
She's on Zoom and I want to actually, I have rescheduled. She's going to be, we're going to interview her again for tomorrow, but I want to give her like a synopsis of what our interview is going to be about. So we're going to take a short break, come back to speak to Miss Erica Grant Wilson. She just published a great book, right? And I want the listening audience to hear that. And then after that, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Cleveland Inius III.
And 1,007 texts.
And 1,007 texts. Miss Wilson, if you're there, hold on. We're coming back to you via Zoom. And then we just want to hear about your new book. And then again, tomorrow, we'll go in detail about the book again. But this is Guided Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And we'll be right back with Dr. Cleveland Inius and also Miss Wilson. We'll be right back.
Your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. And of course, I have Miss Erica Grant Wilson, who's joining me via Zoom. I make sure that she's connected. Miss Wilson, are you there?
Hello. Yes, I am.
Yes. I'm good. No, I'm excited to hear you. And thanks very much for your patience with us. You have a dynamic book that you published, right? And it goes in detail about your experience with your brother. And you have published a kid's book, I think.
Yes.
Yes. And I want you to go in detail about that. And of course, we go in and detail interview tomorrow. But I want to give a synopsis of what this book is, where is it available, and so on.
Okay.
And formally introduce yourself, by the way, because you live abroad. I just want my listening audience that you're a Bahamian who lives in the United States. Go ahead.
Yes. So I was born and raised in the Bahamas, Nassau, Bahamas, lived in Coral Harbor, you know, all of that. Then I went off to school in the States to study architecture and interior design. So my children's book, as you mentioned earlier, does talk about a little bit about kids that deal with autism, dyslexia, ADHD, and any other condition. So my book really focuses on the importance of words and how every word counts. I'm gonna just go into an example really quick. So for example, I know when I was younger, my dad used to tell me, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never hurt you. And we all know that old saying, right? I'm pretty sure we use it all the time. But I also know that we all remember the day when we realized that that saying wasn't really true. Like when somebody told you that you wasn't smart or you wasn't good enough or pretty enough, how those words hurt. So I actually was having a conversation with one of my sorority sisters a long time ago, and we were reflecting upon like our younger selves. And I realized that it wasn't just me, those issues with not being good enough or hearing these negativities in my life. So to make a long story short, since I only have a few minutes, when I was growing up, I had an adult in my life that was supposed to mold me and make me into the person that I knew that I had, what that I was going to be when I was older. I will definitely say that yes, I do struggle with, I did struggle with spelling and a lot of other issues when I was a kid, but this adult in my life definitely didn't help. They kind of added more of that negativity of you're not smart, you're not good, you're not enough, period. And when I was doing a lot of research as an adult currently, I realized that a lot of times we, as adults, we play tracks in our mind. And kind of like when you go to a museum and you would go and you click the track and it would play. If you go to that same museum over and over and over again, you probably wouldn't need to listen to the track because you already know what it's about to say. So the track that was playing in my mind was the track of that adult. It was, you're not smart, you're not good, you can't spell, you're kind of influenced negatively when I grew up. So in summary, that's really what my book is about. My book is just saying that you are enough, you are smart, you are capable, you can do whatever you set your mind to.
And who is your target audience for this book?
So my target audience is kids ages 4 to 8, but also adults. I've had some adults that have read my children's book and they've had an emotional reaction to it, saying that this is what they needed to hear today in that moment. So I feel like it's honestly for everybody. It's for anybody who has ever felt like they can't do anything, specifically for kids with dyslexia, autism, ADHD, because let's be honest, it's too often that those kids are told that they can't do those things, but in reality that they are beyond capable. And I want to preference this also by saying that my book is not only for those kids and those adults, but it's also to the naysayers, to let them know that we're putting them on notice, because our kids and everybody else, they're capable of being and doing whatever they want.
You live in the United States at this present time. Where can Bahamians, and especially parents who have children with challenges and want to be inspired, how can they get access to this book?
So my book is actually available on Amazon, and I will be in the Bahamas tomorrow and we'll be selling it there. So you can contact me on my social media or on my webpage, which is littlewordsaffirm.com.
Okay. And what time will you be in the Bahamas in Nassau tomorrow?
I think I land around 2. Yeah.
Okay. So land around 2. And of course, you'll be calling me long in detail. What's the name of your book again?
My book is called Who Says?
Who Says? Who Says by Erica Grant Wilson.
Yes.
And who says you, I can't do this? And you showed them different.
Okay, good. So tomorrow we'll continue this interview. I'll inbox you and go into detail because I want to know the journey. I want to know the journey of why you decided to write this book. And again, to how are we going to inspire the target audience that you so desire.
Thank you, and I really appreciate this.
No. Good. I need to make sure because I see my elder child has issues or had issues with spelling, and I can understand the peer pressure and feeling not confidence in yourself. And the idea of there's a book that can help her and other children and adults, you know, because I suffer from dyslexia myself, right? And having the confidence to speak out and confidence to push the agenda, say, hey, I can still read this, even though I have issues with reading. We do need more access to information with how to deal with that.
Yeah, and it's not the fact that, I think it's just how we talk about things, right? I know y'all was just talking about the Bible. Like the Bible says, life and death, it lies in the power of the tongue. So what we say is eventually what's going to happen, right? So if we say that we can't, we won't, we'll never, if our teachers, parents, guardians tell us that we will never do it, then we won't.
Okay, definitely.
So we have to change our perspective and how we look at things.
So we'll definitely continue this conversation tomorrow. And thank you very much, Erica.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yes. And that was Miss Erica Grant Wilson. And she has just published a new book called Who Says? Right? Dealing with overcoming obstacles and challenging the idea that people say, no, you can't do it. So I'm kind of excited about that book, especially people like me who have learning disabilities and trying to overcome such and challenging the status quo, right? So I'm very excited about that. But let's continue on. Go ahead.
Just quickly before we go back into the show, two quick points I want to make. Minuri, at some point we have to talk about something. Netanyahu told the Secretary General of the UN he can't come to Israel no more.
Well,
he told them don't come. It's a story in today's Guardian. UN calls Israel's ban on its top leader a political statement in long-running rift. I just wanted to make that note. There's also a text that asks if we were going to reference that and tell the text. So we're not going to talk about it, but I will reference it. Netanyahu carrying on bad. Also, okay. Another quick note, since we have a whole bunch of Hannah people in the room and we had a whole bunch of people earlier, on a more somber note, a death notice has been published for Mr. Stanford Darrington Hanna, 81. Definitely an HHT family star.
Condolences.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Uncle Stanford Darrington Hanna, 81, of Pompey Bay, Acklands, died at PMH on Sunday, September the 29th, 2024. He is survived by his brothers, Maurice Jr. and Frederick Hanna, sister Van Rhea Hutchinson, and numerous other relatives, family, and friends. And we know that Stanford gave the reunion the seal of approval, was very supportive, and condolences to the immediate family and the extended family and to the country which he served.
Okay. Yes. So let's continue our conversation on Dr. Cleveninius, right? Mm-hmm. I know you're going back and forth with Aaron, and I was trying to reconfirm my guess before, right?
Yeah.
Earlier in the conversation, I challenged whether I am trying, whether there will be a rapture, whether I will, where there'll be a trumpet sound and then the dead will rise in Christ first, right? And last week you mentioned that the Bible suggested that there's going to be a new Jerusalem, mm-hmm. right? And then I said, yes, I acknowledge that there's going to be a new Jerusalem. But how you described it was different. And I want you to reiterate that description for me so I can respond to that again.
Right. So, in Revelation 21, it makes reference to this new Jerusalem, and it makes reference to the fact that that new Jerusalem, it actually has dimensions. And it has not one door, but 12 doors. And each of these doors is a door for one of the 12 tribes, right? It also has, they say there's a wall, this is Revelation 21, verse 14, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. So this city could be measured. This city had dimensions. this city had various stones, jasper. It talked about pure gold. They said, like unto clear glass. So this gold was not just the gold that we would normally see as a golden color. It was clear, which means it was being used as a superconductor, which is a whole nother show, right? The foundations of the world were garnished with all manner of precious stones. So this is talking about a planet-sized, they would say, ship that the Sumerians reference as Nibiru, the ancient Africans or the Tamarians reference as Re's Manjet. And so, you know, that is what we discussed last week. I don't know what you wanted to touch on based on that.
No, I wanted to find out that is heaven, the New Jerusalem, a physical place?
Yeah, it is a physical place.
So am I leaving here to go in the sky to that physical place?
No, it's not saying that you're going to leave and go up to the sky. It's saying that this planet-sized ship has been coming into this solar system for billions of years. And it is at the points where it actually comes into this area of the solar system, we have these natural phenomena. You have planetary alignments that coincide with it. You have storms and volcanic eruptions, because this ship is about the size of Jupiter or bigger, and it can interfere with the actual magnetosphere of the planet, which causes turbulent behavior on the planet. So when you look at the Sumerian records, when you look at the ancient Tamaraic records or the original books of the Bible, as we refer to it, you will understand why in this day and time, those of us who have guidance and who have an understanding of where we are in the days of Noah understand that these things are happening for a reason, and that what ultimately happens is we must build a heaven on earth whereby we can have a community that has sex in season, that then births the children that are the angels that are going to assist us with healing the planet. So these angels are not going to fall out of the sky. The sky that they're talking about is the womb of the woman. And these children...
Because when a woman is given birth, she's in between two realms.
That's like correct.
That's something we talk.
That's
we
right.
Talk
she that got like, one foot
like,
in the grave.
Like chicken in the bag. Yeah.
Correct. You understand? So the African theology is much more plausible than what the Greco-Romans brought forth, which was mythology in our eyes. It was their religion. And I'm not telling them that it's not their religion. But in our eyes, we're like, that doesn't work for us.
Because we know where you got it from.
Right. We know where you got it from. And we know what we have proof of.
Right, and as part of the rationale for the conversation that I had partially today, partially yesterday about conspiracy theories, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm far less concerned about you thinking the world is flat and far more interested in determining why thousands of people agree with you.
That,
right, like right. What is I want to know, what's the source? Where did you hear this? Why do you believe it so much?
Yeah.
I'm not interested in whether you're crazy or not. I want to know why you believe it.
Right.
Yeah.
And see, my thing is, you know, the way we critically look at the whole situation is we understand that things happen in a circular pattern. So the last time the dominant culture decided that the world was flat, right after that, you had an age of discovery, and right after that, you had slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're following this timeline, we better... Who cares if the world is flat? The slavery part is what I'm not interested in that.
Repeating that.
I ain't want to do that no more. You understand? And if we as a people don't recognize that we are in an information holocaust... See, the young lady who you're going to interview tomorrow, her book is a microcosm of what has happened to the indigenous people of the planet, especially African people now, for generation after generation. We have been stereotyped. We have been lied to. We've been told that we are something that we're not. We've been given the doctrines and the culturalist culture of other people. And after it doesn't work for us, we are looked at as if something is wrong with us.
Right. That's why I say I'm interested in why you believe, because maybe you misinterpreted that which we know.
Right. Ah.
And that's why you believe what you believe.
But this, the reason why this conversation can continue to happen in this way is because of the information holocaust. The fact that we don't have scientific discussion. If you don't understand how an actual water droplet is formed or a bubble is formed, then you're going to understand why a planet is formed the way it is formed.
Next thing you tell me, you don't believe that there's a big doom over the earth. But anyway, let's go to the caller. You believe in the doom, right, Aaron?
I think in Las Vegas somewhere they may have something like that.
Aaron's staring at me. She doesn't believe in the doom.
I'm looking at the doom right now.
Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Good morning, Mr. Dury. Again, Ms. Greer.
Good morning.
I'm laughing at getting up and laughing at Kujas now when he's talking about water droplets. You know what I mean? That's amazing. I mean, because I know what his implication is, you see? I mean, that's just crazy. But, Ms. Green, when you were saying maybe the individuals who have an alternative view of what they've been taught, you say maybe they misunderstand something, or maybe they, didn't, interpret something correctly, or maybe everybody else has been lied to. You know what I mean? Don't forget now, this is supposed to be the age of enlightenment. All right, this is supposed to be the age of revelation of truth, when a lot of lies will be put to death. You know, that kind of way. So with that being the case, if you are an individual who's holding on to a theory or a story of something that has existed for a particular amount of time, like hundreds of centuries, then chances are you may be proven to be incorrect, especially if, like how Anku was talking about, we view things from one people's perspective. Especially if that thing that you believe in was created by that one people, all right? Now, certain things were started by the Europeans. Gravity? Nobody was talking about gravity until that apple so-called drop on the man. You know what I mean? And that story is so ridiculous. We need to get into that some more. But what we need to understand is that I agree with Anku when he was talking about the importance of the dates and stuff, because that's something I'd mentioned, why it's so important for us to understand the time of year to be born and what our horoscope, what our sign, our zodiac sign means, or how relevant it is in our life and how it determines our character, how it determines our strengths and our weaknesses, how it determines how we view the world. So you might say, well, that's why I saw this or that's why I saw that, because it is the stars that are above you. Now, last week, when I was trying to say something that Anku had mentioned, he didn't even give me a chance to say something. But Ms. Green, I like the way you think, Ms. Green, also, when you said that, when you see people doing the thing, you want to know what it is. Why is it? Because when I used to see our brothers and sisters from Haiti coming over here and risking their lives in those boats with the children and different things, right? I used to say to myself, man, what is it that would cause a human being to put their life at risk like that? I wasn't more out there, civilization coming here. I was like, why? You know what I mean? What is it that would cause that? You know what I mean?
Yes.
See, that is the way we need to look at the world, as opposed to just jumping on a judgment, right? Let us try to look at it from a from a certain angle, from a human perspective.
Cousin,
I'm going to end on this right now, because I know we ain't got much time and things like that, but we need to get into a deeper discussion on this thing. But the person who called talking about discrediting me, Ms. Green, they need to call in, man. Call in and say, and let us converse, and let me hear what you have to say. So, don't just say I'm wrong, but I'm cool.
Cousin, I gotta go.
Thing with you, see?
You can cause me get fired. Only two crazy people could be on the air at one time. That's Urkel rules.
Let's go to the next caller there.
But look here, caller. Namaste.
Respect, my brother.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call girl once. Go ahead again, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nui.
Good morning, man. How you
good
doing?
Good morning, Anku, on Eric.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, listen, I was following conspiracy theories for about 34 years, okay? But I hate conspiracy theories. Is a misnomer. It's actually conspiracies. There's no theory. Anku.
Yes, my brother.
I share your God concepts. You know, deceive us about heaven and hell. I share your concepts. I see Inouye's trying to be facetious, making little jokes about it. But see Inouye, he know the truth. But he don't want the people to know he know the truth. but listen, this one go over quick, all right? The Earth is an ellipsoid. Google the word ellipsoid and explain to the Rasta what an ellipsoid is. The Earth is flat, but it's not a perfect sphere. It's flattened at the poles. So I don't know if that's why he keeps saying it's flat. The caller, the young student or people here and on previously, the guy was saying, how come you have different time zones? But I have explained it over and over by simply saying 15 degrees equals 1 hour, west is earlier, east is later. And so when you do that, you get 360 degrees if you multiply the 15 by the 24. So it's a sphere. But the Earth is not a perfect sphere. I think out of the planets, the most perfect spheres would be Venus and Mercury. I'm not too sure, but one of them is much rounder. So, I mean, it obviously lends to the theory that they were developed at different times. But, I mean, it's really simple, you know. I'm just Google the word ellipsoid. And, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
When it comes to conspiracy, Fox, right?
Yes, sir.
Don't do it without me. I sent you something that I want you to read concerning bio-digital convergence and the Connect Human Connectome Project. We all being duped. We are so duped. See, I like Anko, you know, because what happens is I'm confounded that human beings actually believe they can save the planet. And I'm willing to challenge anyone on that. This is ridiculous, man. How we get at this, man? Bless up.
My prime minister is fighting to save this planet, so I know what you're talking about, 52. We going down fighting. The conversation we started, are we in the days of Noah?
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading Noah that it seems as if the man, Kang, at that time was experimenting with gene splicing and thing. They had, they said, mentioned that angels was doing all kind of strange human
cloning type thing.
Mm.
And I said that, or hinting towards that, if this is the days of Noah again, are you suggesting that they are now hybrid type humans on this earth, that man is now, or angels, or these, remember those separate people I was talking about, are experimenting on humans and things, and that, is that happening?
Yeah, it is happening, but it's not happening in a Hollywood-themed way. You are what you eat. So if you are manipulating the food and you're creating organisms called genetically modified organisms, and people are consistently eating these organisms and metabolizing these organisms, it is changing who we are as people.
For example, agricultural researchers are continually studying the impact of the introduction of feed, animal herd feed. Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, the Terminator gene, right? It's a patented process that renders a seed useless, right?
That's
right? So once you've grown your crop of corn, you can't replant that corn. You got to go back to the source and buy a new crop.
Correct.
What agricultural researchers are trying to validate, what they're observing, is an increase in abortions, natural abortions from the animals that are eating the corn and mm-hmm. the feed that contain Terminator genes.
Right.
And so they are, in the very scientific, strict way, trying to verify whether what they are observing is what they think they're observing, which is an impact of a seed that intends not to germinate and that it seems to be causing the animals that eat it to experience abnormally high incidences of natural abortions.
Right.
You are what you eat.
So this weekend, the African Holocaust Month, all right, we're going to be the Holy Coptic Church or the Black Messiah. We're going to be discussing how the global Black population participates in its own information holocaust. How the global Black population participates in its own information holocaust. So we parrot or repeat stereotypes. We parrot or repeat the dominant culture's perspective. And we ignore our own scientists, we ignore our own sociologists, we ignore our own priests, we ignore the very people who have taken the time to make it their life's work to actually give us an Afrocentric perspective or an indigenous perspective. And so this week, it's free. You can register for free, journeyhomegroup.com. We start roughly 12 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken, but all the time's up on the website. We have speakers from all over the world, and it lasts for a few hours where we actually have, I think it's 3 hours, but we actually have these conversations that allow for, I'm not saying we're going to be talking about flat earth this week, but the idea that there are people talking about flat earth, is nothing wrong with that. I'm not getting
nothing wrong with talking about flat earth.
No, I mean, the fact that you could have an open conversation and have a dialogue, that's important.
Yeah.
Now, what
about the dome in the ocean on top of the earth?
All we're asking is that we do our due diligence and bring actual science to the conversation.
Right.
So that we're not just spouting off.
Right. When we have this conversation, you try to make fun of me. But Aaron talking about the waters above the waters. Mm. Then I can say to you, you know that air is just less dense water, right?
Right.
Mm. Right. You know that?
And what is above and what is below.
Right. With your bright shirt and your bright self.
I understand. So when that's tomorrow, what time again there?
So that's actually on Saturday.
Saturday.
Every weekend in October, African Holocaust Month, we're going to be discussing various topics. JourneyHomeGroup.com. Check it out. It's free. And if you do sign in, just put Uncle next to your name so they know I invite you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's coincidence that you decided to have this during Columbus Day when he discovered the Bahamas. Anyway.
National Heroes Day.
He's our national hero. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. Thank you very much, Uncle Surat. Thank you very much, Aaron Green.
Also, the unicorn.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.